Well, now a moment to remember a woman who had a deep passion for social justice journalism. She was searingly honest, curious, courageous. Revered journalist and author Elizabeth Winehousen joined us on Life Matters a couple of times, you might recall. Her journalism didn't just stop at a few phone calls. Elizabeth often lived and breathed her investigations, telling the stories of people whose lives are often missing from the news, itinerant workers, sex slaves, prisoners, many more besides. Across her career, she wrote for The Australian, The Age, The Sydney Morning Herald, The National Times, The Sun Herald. And you might recall her 2001 book, Dirt Cheap, Life at the Wrong End of the Job Market. She went undercover to document life on a minimal wage in Australia. Her last book, The Short Goodbye, A Skewed History of the Last Boom and the Next Bust, examined the impact of the global financial crisis on the lives of so many people struck down by it, during which, in fact, despite her decorated career, at age 62, she herself was retrenched by the Australian newspaper, an experience her friends say affected her very deeply. Elizabeth Winehousen died too young at the age of 67 last Thursday from pancreatic cancer. And here she is speaking to Angela Katerns in 2011 on Life Matters about her book, The Short Goodbye.
And I knew it was coming because one of my colleagues had been sacked the day before. He was going to be 60 one day later and I was 62. So it wasn't altogether surprising. They'd sacked quite a few people the year before. Journalism had newspapers had taken quite a hit at the beginning. But I was sitting at my desk writing about people who'd 30 guys from a factory who'd lost their jobs that week, I'd declared myself the recession correspondent, you know, just before I was getting my first hand lesson in it. But it was subsequently, I was very interested in the subject because I thought at that point it showed how we were going in completely the wrong direction, how what was happening in financial industries was wrong, how the gap between working people and the people in banking was wrong and growing. Some of these things bothered me greatly. It's extraordinary, it seemed to me. I mean, history is written from the viewpoint of the winners, not the losers, I guess. But there's hundreds of thousands of people who will be feeling, what are they talking about when they hear the word boom again and again? What are they talking about? I cannot get a full-time job. My kids can't get steady work. They can get work here and there, but and many people have never had the same salary they had then. I don't either, but I'm fortunate enough to have, you know, gone from going to an office every day to sitting in my nice flat writing a book. But that's an unusual situation, and I'm over 60. For other people, it's shocking, it's frightening. They have mortgages, they have children, they have old parents. They can't just pick up and move to Karratha and do a job in mining. What I found out is this talk of upskilling, some of it is empty rhetoric. I tried to get into a training course. The training courses they said were available weren't available. I went through quite a lot of steps to get into an interview in a job agency. The interview lasted 17 minutes. Most of the time I was, in fact, interviewing the woman, my consultant, about what pressure they were under. She asked me what work I could do. I said, office work. And she said, like receptionist. And I said, yeah, that sort of thing. And that was it. That was the end of our jobs conversation. I never heard a word from this agency again. That's my experience. Multiply it by 500,000.
Indeed. The daughter of Dutch Jews who escaped the Nazis, Elizabeth Winehousen grew up in the Sydney seaside suburb of Manly, where her mum ran a dress shop called Paris Frocks. Elizabeth and her mother were very close, sharing, I gather, the same mischievous sense of humour. It was her mum who was the inspiration for Elizabeth's short book called On Resilience, generally regarded amongst her finest work. And here's an excerpt from a wonderful interview with my colleague Richard Adey in 2009, where Elizabeth talks about her mother and a trait they shared, and that was resilience.
When I looked into resilience, it came to me in a flash because I'm impulsive that I would write about resilience, and then I found I'd picked a very well-researched area,
a
crowded field I'd stepped into, and I found that this seemed to be fairly typical of what resilient people do. They cope with the situation by going ahead. It had struck me long before I thought of her resilience, how she had done that, how it was unlucky for me as a writer to have been born into a family that it was always going forward rather than reflecting. That was very much her quality. She went, you dealt with the situation by looking at what needed to be done. And as it turned out, this is fairly typical of resilient people.
Yes.
Highly resilient people.
So she doesn't overthink things, and she doesn't reflect too much. She's always on to the next thing. At the end of the war, she goes back to your father's house. She'd met him in Switzerland, I think.
That's right.
Yeah. And he
was a refugee,
yes,
too.
And it wasn't quite over yet, the war. It was just finishing off, and he was serving. And she finds the authorities have handed the house over to a collaborator, of which there were many in Holland at that time. She's undaunted.
I think she was daunted. Nonetheless, she was very courageous, my mum. And what she did was to move into the house. The collaborator himself was in prison already as a collaborator, but his wife and some friends were there. And my mother said to me once, they were entertaining the troops. And I said, what were they doing? And fairly typically she said to me, well, they weren't playing Scrabble. the troops climbed in. Canadian and British troops apparently climbed in through a downstairs window. Those old-fashioned farmhouses in Holland, this one was 300 years old, are flush with the pavement. So they climbed in through a downstairs window. My mother moved in upstairs and literally took over room by room. And every single day she would go down to the village and talk, or maybe to Maastricht, the nearest big town, and stand there to talk to town officials to try and get these people evicted.
Gosh. Elizabeth Winehouse, and they're talking about her mother. And here she is again reflecting on that time in her life.
In 2007, my mother and brother died in the same month. And of course, I needed my friends. I needed help from everybody I knew. I didn't have counselling, but I more or less had my friends as full-time counsellors. But I bounced back. I was made redundant by the Australian newspaper after 15 years there. In March, at the end of March, and within 4 days I had signed a new book contract. And I think that's probably an indication of fairly strong resilience. I've bounced forward. I thought I need something to do. And, of course, I just discovered by writing about my mother's resilience that I definitely needed something to do. I think that looking ahead is a pretty good recipe for resilience rather than endlessly looking backwards, though, of course, one needs to know what one's done.
Yes, the late journalist and author Elizabeth Winehousen talking to Richard Ady on Life Matters in 2009. We wanted to let you know that Elizabeth passed away. She died after pancreatic cancer last Thursday. And I want to read a tweet by John Stannard who says, thank you, I didn't know and I'm in shock to hear such a vibrant writer and tweeter is gone so soon. Vale Elizabeth from a reader. Thanks, John. Elizabeth and her friends have set up a web page where Elizabeth selected a collection of her own favourite articles. It's well worth a look. ElizabethWinehousen.com. We'll link to that from the Life Matters website. She is survived by her niece, Gabi, her partner, Aaron, as well as nephew, Jesse, and his wife Joanna. Her funeral will be held over in Sydney tomorrow. That's Thursday, the 12th of September at 2:15 in the South Chapel of Eastern Suburbs Memorial Park, Military Road, Matraville. Those details are actually on her website as well, so we'll link to that and you get to read some of her incredible, incredible social justice journalism.